going, everybody? Look. and right out the gate. Well, this is a fantastic start. What's going on, everybody? God damn it! What's going on, everybody's pretty tough to say. What's going on, everybody? Podcast 15. Me and Andrew are, we're going to try to do these more regularly. That was our...
Try
is the key word. I don't know, with the division of labor, what we're aiming for, maybe we'll do these a couple times a month, maybe. That'd be nice. No promises. I feel like every podcast is always me and you promising that we're going to do it, yet we don't go too far with the promise because we know we're not going to deliver. But still, we're going to try.
We're good at promising.
Yeah, we're good at promising and then taking back the promise in the next podcast. But anyways, a few things to talk about, not much. But we figure now is good time as any. So there is some stuff to get into, Andrew. So let's start with what we've been playing, and I think it's going to be the same thing we're going to be discussing. So I'll go ahead and start. This past week, I've been playing The Last of Us.
It takes a classy man to admit when he was wrong, and I was wrong. I love the Jersey Shore.
And yeah, Last of Us. I got to say, I was completely wrong about it. All the stuff I said last time, granted, you know, I didn't know what I was talking about, I guess, because it's the last thing it is a generic third-person shooter, you know, another one of those games. It's, it was really good.
Really?
Really good.
Say.
Really good. Best game I've played all year. I said it.
Really? Well, I'm not one to say I told you so, but I'm glad that I championed for something that wasn't bad.
Pleasantly surprised with it. It's very different, which you look at it like I did, and you don't think something like that would be different, but... It does not play at all like common third-person shooters, you know, when it comes to just the gunplay. That was what shocked me the most, is most of the time, shooting guns was not your best option. But at the same time, when you were shooting guns, it was a lot of fun. It was very, I don't know, it felt heavy, and I don't know if that word makes any sense, but everything felt more real is the best way to describe it, I guess. From the way you take damage, from the way you shoot people, from the way they move. I was very impressed with the gunplay, the stealth, and really the thing that got me the most was the AI with the enemies. They were not stupid, and they were punishing, really. They were relentless, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, I got frustrated at times, but it was a good frustration I hadn't experienced in a long time with the game, in the sense that you're not mad at... You know, there's like three different kinds of frustration, I think. There's just piss-poor gameplay that's, you know, artificially difficult, just hard to be hard. Then there's something like a Mega Man, which is challenging, and it's not going to be hard because it's a pattern. Whether it be you have to perfect a certain string of jumps, a boss pattern, you know, stuff like that, it's easy to nail down. And then there's this one where it's you get frustrated because the game gets better, it gets the better of you, which is really a cool thing. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've been sneaking around, and you know, I get snuck up on myself, and I'm like, holy shit, that's pretty cool. And I can't think of a game since really the first Halo that kind of shocked me the most. You know, it shocked me so much the way the enemies would react to you. It was really well done, and I guess we're just going to gush about it for a while, but...
Well, there's no problem with that.
No, the graphics are amazing. You know, the story, it started out a bit cliche, but I liked the way it ended. I thought it was presented well. Strangely enough, this is me eating crow and just pretty much telling you you're exactly right, because the only thing I can really say my problem was is that I really wish I wasn't using a PS3 controller.
I completely agree.
Fingers slipping off that R2 button, that was a problem, but the game was really cool. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. I guess not to spoil anything for anyone that's listening that didn't play it, but going on with the story, what did you think of the ending?
I asked you last night, because I thought it was interesting that Travis hated it, Bailey loved it, and you thought it was okay. I'm following more along the lines of okay. The ending sequence, I loved. Like, I thought that was really good. The actual ending, I don't know how I feel about it, because I feel like they had a good balance struck, and then they try to get a bit fancy with it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It was good. I mean, the ending didn't leave me disappointed or anything. It wasn't... I don't know. I don't ever see... I feel like that's the wrap-up to the story, and it's over with that. But I don't know, because I read a story about how they were going to have it a little more, you know, close in a happy way.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make the ending bad. It's just kind of... It was okay. I thought the ending was not as good as the ending sequence, if that makes sense. Because the whole ending sequence I loved. I thought it was really cool.
Well, I think I agree with you on that. I think a lot of their actual ending came more from the fact that they wanted to put an ending there that let them either finish the story or make a sequel if they could.
It's kind of open either way. You can picture it in your head that that's the end of everything, or, you know, I guess if they really wanted it, they could dip back into that.
And I think that's exactly why it's there. They could have had a more conclusive ending that gave you more and did a bit more and had a bit more, I guess, thought to what happens with everything.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think the ending they have is mostly influenced by the fact that they can leave it where it is or pick it up if they want it.
And from what I've read, they seem to say that, you know, the Joel and Ellie story's over, but they go back to the universe. And I thought about that when I read that, and I think about, you know, the next Mass Effect game. Well, that's a pretty rich universe. But even then, I think about why I like those games so much, and it was really the characters that I'd met and all that. And that was what made it so special. I don't know if I'd really want to play a Last of Us 2 in the same world with not the same characters, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like...
you wouldn't be too big of a fan walking around as Bill?
No. I guess I'm wrong again, because I don't think there'll be a second one. So I got to eat that crow again. But I feel like that's the thing. They need to let that go, because if you start tapping back into that, that's when it's going to start going downhill. This was a game that it needs to go out in the high note. You talked about the Uncharted games, and I was like, well, if they're just using, you know, I guess those were just stepping stones for this game. And Uncharted 1 was not perfect by any stretch. And I thought 2 was their chance to, you know, really make good on the promises of the first one. And I actually started to think that 3 sucked so bad because all the talented people were working on this game instead. I don't feel like there's much room where they can go up with The Last of Us 2. I mean, what more could you want? Because it was the... It's been a while since I have played a game this generation like that. And because, you know, you look at Mass Effects and other stuff, that they're single player, you buy them, you get, you know, 40 hours out of it, and you don't really feel jipped at a $60. But that game right there, you know, it took me, I think, 14 hours to beat. But it was a fun... I mean, I didn't buy it as Bailey's, but it was well worth the ride. I had a lot of fun with it. And it's been a while since I have felt the value in a single player game like that. I don't know if, you know, I would have dropped 60, but still, it's definitely a game that is worth playing. And it sounds so like, well, it's worth playing. It sounds condescending, but it really is. If you have a PS3, you need to play it. It's really worth it.
I agree. I think it's for any comic book fans out there, it is the Watchmen of video game. It's a one hit thing that was a really good hit, but, you know, everyone who, you know, gets in the comments, everyone will say, you need to read Watchmen. It's just a great thing to read.
Yeah,
it's a good standalone thing.
That's a good comparison. You read it. Yeah, it's a one-off thing. It's good, and that's it. There's no, you don't have to play the first 5 to play this one. It's just, that's the game. I'll respect them even more if they just ended on that. You know, this is their game. This was it. It's over. It was a hell of a game. That's one of the reasons I wanted the podcast, was just to publicly admit I was wrong. I was very wrong. It was well worth the time, and best game of this year by far so far, or best game of the year by far.
Wow. Well, what kind of competition did it have? New Leaf. You're a big fan of the New Leaf.
I haven't beat Tomb Raider, but even playing Tomb Raider, you know, I've played maybe half of it. I don't see what, you know, they're similar somewhat, and I feel like this game does it better. Can you believe me? I mean, you beat them both. Wouldn't you think they're sort of similar and this game's better?
Yeah, I think I would. I think they both got that stealthy, kind of, you know, prowler, predator type of gameplay to it. I think The Last of Us did it better.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about it all show, but I really just wanted to get some talking on that because I enjoyed the game. If you're hearing this, you got a PS3, you should definitely play it.
Well, glad to hear that. I'm not going to say the love, but the enjoyment I had out of it was not unfounded.
No, definitely not. Great game. All right, so that's all I've been playing. And have you been playing anything else, Andrew? I don't think you have.
No, I've been just kind of sitting in the wings waiting for something. I delved a little bit into New Vegas.
Oh.
Hit tidbits here and there that I never got finished. And so I've been delving into that a bit, but other than that, it's really been nothing more than observing what's been going on in the game industry right now, as opposed to being actually in it, supporting it, and playing it.
Well, sure, and that's what I wanted to talk a little bit about. I'm not going to do a formal news section because there's nothing huge that's really happened at a Comic-Con or anything, but the next-gen thing, we talked about it all last podcast, you know, the new consoles, what they're up to, And I thought this was an interesting rumor that we do need to talk about, because this is kind of a line in the sand thing that we went through this last cycle, and it's kind of a thing of the past. We forgot about it. The rumor is EA games are going to cost $80. That's just the rumor, but EA games are going to be $80. Would you pay $80 for just a regular version of a game?
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and start off by saying the rumor's a bit murky, and the whole idea is that they're getting that off of EA releasing what their British games are going to cost, and so when you convert that into pounds, that's like $83 or something like that. And so, you know, you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt, you know, what is the pound compared to the dollar type of thing. But that does throw up a lot of red flags that I could honestly see if there's one game business in this world that would charge $83 for a $60 game, it would be EA.
There's no doubt. And I remember last generation, or I guess the current, whatever, I'm done with this. The whole thing that people said was Halo 2 came out with the collector's edition. You remember that, right? And they charged $60 for it, and it sold like crazy. After, you know, a couple years after that, they said that was one of their things to test the market, seeing if people were willing to pay $60 for a game. And I guess that just kind of happened without any kind of blowback. But,
Lord, really?
Yeah, but I think that, like, you know, I bought the collector's edition because it came with some extra stuff.
That's maybe exactly. I've just heard this now, and that was my first thought.
Yeah,
people bought that because it was a little bit money. It was a little bit more money for a little bit more content, extra stuff. Well, why could they not think of that?
So I don't know why I'd be paying $20 for the same experience. Because I look, once again, I'm going back to The Last of Us. I look at that game, and where do games have to go from there? We're talking about wrinkles now. We're not talking about Atari to Super Nintendo. We're talking about wrinkles in the sense that it's a bit prettier, it runs a bit smoother, the enemies are a bit smarter, the effects are a bit nicer, and that's all you got. And I'm sure there's going to be games that, you know, blow that up and prove me wrong, but the idea being $60 is already a lot for a game. If you start getting more than that, you really start to think about the game you plop $80 down on. And I hope I hope there's nothing that comes of this rumor, but it still is just one of those things that really makes you think, you know, how far are they willing to push it? And I still think when they start pushing that hard, there's going to be some sort of blowback in the form of a crash or something. I don't know. I guess only time will tell.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. EA, they're willing to push that mark to go past and past and past what they should really be doing. And also, I really like your point that you said that, you know, it's not like it's going to be – it's not like there are huge jumps going on right now. It's not like you're going from, you know, Skyrim where you're, you know, you can put 200 hours in it to Xbox One Skyrim where you're going to have 400 hours worth of content in it.
Yeah.
You know,
think about Perfect Dark Zero. Think about that game now. I mean, really? That was a next generation game? Could you have done the same thing on the Xbox One? That doesn't make any sense anymore. The first Xbox? Yeah, of course you could. And look at The Last of Us, which I think is, you know, a perfectly fully fledged game that we thought the PS3 was capable of. It took us 7 years to get there. You know, this is a 7 years from a developer that's only worked on the PlayStation 3, and it took them that long to make a game like that. to think that we're going to get these crazy experiences that are totally next-gen within a year from now is absurd, and it's just not going to happen.
I agree. I think that's a really good point. I don't think that's been brought up too much. That's the first time I've heard that idea that everyone is kind of getting this opinion that the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 and even really the Wii U are going to be totally different experiences than what they had before. And there's going to be different games on them, sure. But yeah, I think I agree. There's not going to be different experience.
And if I can go a step further, and I don't know if you'll try to crucify me for this, but when it comes down to it, I think the only system you can actually say that's going to give you a different experience as of now is the Wii U, because it's inferior as it may be graphically. The touchpad offers something that the other ones cannot compete with. I know Sony's controller has that little touchpad on it, and Microsoft has the Kinect. It works well with the gameplay, and it adds something different that the other ones don't do. And yeah, it can't do the big pretty graphics that they're going to be able to do, but the point being, it's just like the Wii. And even though the Wii floundered, I think the Wii U has a better chance that in the long run, it's going to be more different. And you know what? Maybe The Last of Us 2 will come around 5 years from now on the PS4. And it'll blow you away again because of how fully realized the game is. That's all I can come up with. But it's going to take a while to reap the rewards of these consoles, I think. And that's just – and it's not Xbox's fault or the PlayStation's fault. It is what it is. That's the way, you know, the best games usually come out later in a thing. If the games were to cost more, which I think they'll probably stay at $60, but I just can't see myself plopping down $500 and paying $80 for a game on a, you know, for an Xbox One game that's not going to be that much more impressive than what I have right now. Until you get past the idea that, oh, Assassin's Creed 4 or 5 is coming out in the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One, I don't think you need to even worry about upgrading, if I could be so bold.
Well, I do want to interject with one thing. You were talking about I'd crucify you for the Wii U. I wouldn't say I'd crucify you, but I am just saying personally I'm holding back opinion on the Wii U right now because we've got to see what it can do with other major game titles that would come out for it. We know you can really see what they'll do with Mario and Donkey Kong and Kirby and all that. You know what they'll do with the Nintendo franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the whole thing with the Wii U. They were playing it out when it first came out that it was going to have third-party games. You're not just going to get Nintendo franchises. You'll get other franchises in there.
I agree. But at the same time, I think even though I think they presented it that way, I think what they're hoping – now, at the same time, Dragon Age 3, stuff like that, which we're just talking about this whole year, two-year window from these new consoles, they're not going to be technically undoable on the Wii U. Let's remember that. Like, it's going to be a while before we see that jump to infrastructures and capabilities that are beyond the Wii. Because the Wii U is more powerful than the Xbox 360 and all. Okay, so let's establish that. But at the same time, Nintendo, I think, was hoping for more. I don't think they were so much talking about the graphical part. It was the sense that the gamepad was it's like the Kinect was supposed to be, right? It's an addition to gameplay as opposed to we have the waggle and the Wiimote. That's all you got. So they have to make their entire game around the waggle. Now it's like we have this gamepad, and you can use it to enhance your game, but it's still a good controller, correct? Mm-hmm. So what I'm thinking is, you know, a lot of people are pulling out support for the Wii U just because it hasn't sold that well, and it's starting to rebound a little bit, and I think as soon as some huge Nintendo games come out, it's going to just be like the 3DS, and there'll be people, oh, well, it's dead on the water, and then as soon as it gets these three games out, they're like, oh, wow, what the best seller of the year, what a shock. And that's just the way Nintendo's been doing with these consoles, and it's their own, like you said last time, it's their own fault for releasing it too early, or releasing it without any major first-party titles.
Instead of just having Mario.
I think Nintendo's niche might not be met because they are a bit inferior technologically. But I think it also, the problem comes to publishers. You get an EA who they're not going to make Battlefield 4, and then there's the Battlefield, give it a random subtitle Wii U version, which is a bit inferior, but does different things. They're not going to do that because they're not... Unless they're going to make money, they're not going to take the risk. And that's a shame. We once again get back to the point I made last time. Are you really so hung up on not having Call of Duty that you're going to, fault the Wii U for it? I don't know of any franchises that are going to bring me to Xbox One or PS4. We're way off topic, I guess, but for $80, nothing would. There's very few things I'd pay $80 for, definitely.
With the Wii U and the whole... People are worried about a different experience. The thing I'm worried about is that, and this might be unfounded, I might just be a yokel who doesn't know what he's talking about, but I was worried, and I still am worried about, with Batman Arkham Origins, you have the Arkham Origins that's going to be the regular title on the Xbox and the PlayStation and all that, and then you have this Arkham Origins Blackgate, which is like a 3DS side game for, the 3DS processors and for the 3D aspect and all that stuff. And that's what I'm worried about, where the people on the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 and the computer are going to all get the next Batman Arkham game that's the actual story, and then you have the Wii U people getting the Wii U side mission that bridges Arkham Origins to the next Arkham game that's going to be made by Rocksteady. And, you don't get the actual experience, you get the side game that they made. Because the Wii U is not the same as the Xbox or the PlayStation, it's a different ballpark, and so you're not going to get the same experience. You're going to get their side project because they're spending all their time on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, and so that's what I'm worried about.
Great points. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Now is as good a time as any to segue. Talking about Arkham Origins and the next Arkham game, let's talk about Arkham Origins, and more broadly, if you will, I'd like to talk about, since we spent so much time last time talking about the next generation of consoles, blah, 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 blah. I'd like to talk about games that are coming out this year, mostly on current gen consoles, and what do you have to look forward to? If you're not going to buy an Xbox One, if you're not going to buy a PS4 in 2013, what do you have to look forward to play in this current year? Because a lot of the stuff we talked about last time was future stuff. Smash Brothers, Bayonetta, all this other stuff. It's 2014. And there's not a bunch of huge stuff coming out this year, but there's definitely some hard hitters. I don't think there's as many as there's been the past few years, but there's definitely some good games out there. I think it's appropriate that we talk about them. Okay, so 2013, there's a mishmash, but there's three games I want to talk about. First off, I don't think we'll have a huge dialogue on this one. It's really, assuming that Super Mario 3D Land makes it, I mean, you know what that game's going to be. Mm-hmm. Actually, what is Super Mario Land U? What is it called? Super Mario 3D World, maybe? I don't have a fucking clue.
I think that's it. Super Mario All right, 3D, 3D World. World.
And you know what you're getting with that one. They've confirmed it has no online multiplayer, so... But, Nintendo's big title is Pikmin 3, which, that's a peculiar one. I think I'll play it, but not huge on Pikmin games. They're good, but certainly not in the same caliber as a Mario, Zelda, Metroid. Do you have, I know you don't have a Wii U, but if you did, would you have any interest in diving into Pikmin? Because you hadn't played any of the games, have you?
I haven't beaten. I don't even think I got halfway through, but I played Pikmin 1.
Uh-huh.
I got the gist of what's going on with it. Pikmin games never really appealed to me because they just seemed like they weren't really either or of what it was looking like it was with the whole gathering up and using those guys to build stuff and beat the other bad guys and things like that. And it just, I don't know, it didn't really catch me with anything that was worth keeping. You know, I didn't really think the Pikmin guys were like, some people try to say they're cutesy and they're, you know, they got that cute aspect to them and factor to them that you can stick stickers of them all over the place as little cute things to add to everything. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And they never really appealed to me with that. I didn't think they looked neat. I didn't think the, what's the astronaut's name?
Orlamar.
Yeah, he didn't really do it for me. He didn't seem like he was a great franchise Nintendo character. You know, he's like a side character that, you know, you see in Smash Brothers, but you don't really take a big interest in. And so it's just, everything about it doesn't seem like it has something there that's more than a B title to Nintendo games.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm quite as scathing as you, but I agree in the sense that I look at Pikmin. The best way I can describe it is I feel like a lot of its hype, praise, anything that's surrounded the franchise has been because Miyamoto made it. And it's kind of like one of those things. You look at a famous Hollywood director that's, you know, they have all these movies everybody loves, and then they have that movie that they make that they loved, and a handful of people loved it too, and it was kind of the cult hit that it's, you know, you could, I'm sure he'd tell you that's his favorite game is Pikmin. It's like Keiji Inafune made all the Mega Man games. His favorite one was Mega Man Legends, which great game. I loved it, but it's not for everyone, and it's a ton of, you know, it's more of one of the more forgotten titles. It's a clumsy way of saying Pikmin 3. I'm excited for it, but it's a very tempered excitement. You know, it's okay, I'll play it, but it's just a Pikmin game. I'm going to get it because it'd be something to play on my Wii U, which is, that's been few and far between, but that's about all I think about Pikmin.
I think you got a good point there.
It's certainly not the system mover that Nintendo needs right now, I think.
Exactly. It's a B title to me. That's what I see it. It's a B title.
Yeah, well, not to say it's not going to be good, but it's just not, like I said, it's not something that's going to put the asses in the seats. I know I say that a lot, but that's what they need, and I don't think it's it. But if you want to talk about a game that will do that, the next game I want to talk about, which will be coming out a month after Pikmin, is Grand Theft Auto 5, and I don't think there can be a heavier hitter. And I can't think of a game coming out, because Call of Duty doesn't count. That's just a perennial piece of shit. Has there been a bigger release recently, Andrew, the past 3 years than Grand Theft Auto 5? I can't think of one.
Not one that comes to mind.
Grand Theft Auto 5. Are you excited for it, Andrew? Because personally, I think it looks fantastic.
Yeah, I am excited for it. It's the way I look at it is, you know, I got this. Basically, it's for me, it's going to be 3 months of waiting altogether for any games that I want. And so it's going to be 2 months of nothing, 2 months of just dry spell. And then September rolls around and it'll be Grand Theft Auto and I'll be lost in it until Arkham Origins comes along. And that's pretty much it for me. But that's the way I look at it. It's dry spell until Grand Theft Auto comes out and you're in the clear.
Definitely. And we'll talk about Batman later because I know we want to. But Grand Theft Auto 4, I feel like, is going to be a good example because it was still, people lauded it as like the best game ever. And it was good. But look at Grand Theft Auto 4 compared to what you've seen of 5, right? And to me, that's what I think you're going to be getting from the Xbox One and all. It's a new platform, and does Grand Theft Auto 4 look better than the PS2 ones? Hell yeah, it does. It looked better, it could do more things, but did it leave the impression that San Andreas left on you, that the freedom of flying around and all that stuff? No, not at all. It felt very constricted to me. And now that they have better grasp of the technology, look at Grand Theft Auto 5 doing all this crazy stuff. And once again, it took, what, 8 years after the next generation consoles came out to fully realize a next generation Grand Theft Auto, which is what 4 was supposed to be. So, you get Grand Theft Auto 6 or whatever, 4 years from now on the PS4 or whatever, and maybe it's not that impressive until Grand Theft Auto 7. I don't know, but what I'm trying to say is I feel like this is the fully realized, this is going to be the Grand Theft Auto that's going to remind me of San Andreas, not because it's set in the same place, but because I remember playing that game. You talk about waiting for Arkham Origins. I know I'm doing a million different thoughts here, but I remember the game I wanted in 2004 was Halo 2. That's all I wanted was Halo 2. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas came out 3 weeks before that. I remember it specifically because I got that game, and before I knew it, it was already November, 9th? Was it? It was October to November, gone like that, because I played Grand Theft Auto San Andreas so much, because it was just that engrossing of a game. And you look at it now, and it looks so simplistic, but wow. I think this is going to be that game that once again reminded me why this series is so special. And it gets a bad rap. I know a lot of people don't like it for different reasons, but it's very popular for a good reason. It's kind of like the humor and all the things they do with it, they can do that because everything else is so solid and so detailed, and this one looks like no exception.
Oh yeah, I think with Grand Theft Auto 4, it was a big world, but there was nothing in it worth staying in. if I was in Liberty City, I'd be wanting to leave Liberty City. And so it was just...
It felt a bit dead. It felt boring and like... It looked hazy. The graphics, does that make sense to you? Like, kind of hazy?
Oh, yeah, it was.
It was very just concrete feeling. I don't know how to describe it other than it felt boring, dead, dreary. Oh, yeah. And the story was that, too. It was very dreary and just not a lot of fun to be had.
Oh, yeah. I think literally the only fun I had in 4 that I remember specifically sitting there and laughing at were the TV channels. We sat and watched the TV. That was funny. But other than that, I can't really remember any humor and comedy and laughs and lightheartedness to the series until the DLC really came around.
Sure, and I believe that's all done on purpose. They were trying to tap into the darker side. The series has always been very tongue-in-cheek, and I feel like this one, while I don't think it's going to go back to the San Andreas jetpack from Area 51 days, I still think the three-character dynamic is going to lead to some laughs and just some... They're three different people from what we can tell in the trailers and all, and I think it's going to make for a very interesting game.
I hope and agree.
But yeah, Grand Theft Auto 5, definitely very excited for it. The gameplay looked great. I'm eagerly awaiting to see the online aspect in the next trailer they show. I don't know, I think that's... Last of Us, that was good, but I think there's your game of the year. That's just my prediction, Grand Theft Auto 5.
We'll see, but yeah, if I was a betting man and I had to bet money on it, I would put my money behind the Rockstar horse.
But not so fast, because the next game, obviously we have personal stake in it, because it's something we like. I wouldn't bat an eyelash at the next game we're going to talk about, being Arkham Origins. Kind of came out of nowhere, but it looks really good.
I don't know what I want to say about Origins as a whole. I could spend all day talking about how much I love Batman and how much I would love to see some great Batman games. But, it's just, I don't know with this new team. I don't even know what their names are. I think they're like...
WB Montreal, I think.
Yeah, the WB Montreal, something about Montreal. But, I don't know what their mindset is. Honestly, I'm kind of waning from Rocksteady and their mindset with what they're doing and what they've done. Rocksteady gets me a bit worried. They seem like they're a bit money hungry. We released this DLC or that DLC so that we can make some more money. And so I don't know what Montreal's got. I would love to see that they're the new blood. They get new aspects into it and that they sort of keep to the ground with their approach to the Batman games. But I don't know. I'm keeping a solely open mind with this, a hesitantly open mind where I love Batman and I'm very picky with Batman. I like my Batman taste to be very particular. And so I'll see if they can do it for me, but I'm hesitantly going to give them an open mind to the whole deal.
Yeah, we didn't even talk personally about this, and I thought about it today. And the best way I can describe this is I'm not as picky as you. I don't know if you've come around a little bit, but you weren't fully satisfied with Arkham City. And I can see, after reflecting myself, I can see why. Arkham Asylum was a surprise, I'd like to say. I mean, it looked good, but it just, it came out, and no one could have thought it was going to be as good as it was. And really, what made that game so good was, you say the story was good, but it was the setting and how it all worked within the story. And then it was built on a solid foundation, good setting, good story, great game. You go to the Arkham City. The setting was interesting. The gameplay was even better. The story was a bit lackluster, but the problem is they did not do anything with the setting. It was Arkham City, and nothing really went on in there. It fell flat. And we talked about it, and I thought, even though they did so much to evolve the gameplay, with the story falling so flat, and when I say flat, I mean the story did not complement the gameplay. And it doesn't have to be some kind of drastic departure, and you know, they had a big twist at the ending, but it did not resonate. You expect the gameplay to be better. That's the whole problem I have with sequels nowadays. I wouldn't want a Last of Us 2, because I'd expect the gameplay to be better. I want to be affected by the story more. And story, for me, is, many, like I said, many things. Setting, blah, 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 characters. Not just the overall plot. But then I look at Arkham Origins. You know, it's a fresh take, story-wise, team-wise, and the gameplay is going to evolve. And I hope that just having that different set of hands on it will make it feel like Arkham Asylum again. And I know that's I'm being very clunky, but what I'm trying to say is the gameplay will always evolve, but the experience still needs to seem fresh. And now that they've gone back, you know, a younger Batman, I feel like it has a chance to wow us again.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. Like, when I look at, you know, Arkham Asylum, I picture it in sections, in the bite-sized parts. You know, you got your Ivy part, you got the beginning part, you got your Bane part, you got all this stuff. And then I look at Arkham City, and I look at those parts, and it's good for a little bit, and then once it gets into that League of Assassins, then it just, I mean, it goes downhill fast. I want to see back to the Arkham Asylum idea with Arkham Origins, where all these little it's got sections, and it's got each individual person, because, you know, there's the whole 8 assassins. Each individual person gets their own spotlight. They get their own emphasis on them at a particular time, and each time, it's not a bad experience.
Yeah, and once again, I feel like that's going back to what I was saying, the idea that let the setting and the plot and the characters shine through with the gameplay. And that was what was so good about Arkham Asylum is, you know, there was always little bits, and they did a bit with City when it comes to, you know, the freeze bombs and stuff like that moving around. But it seemed very Metroid-esque, and I mean that in the sense of you're getting items to progress. And you always thought of this one item, the bat claw or this or that, you'd associate with a part of the asylum. And that was it. It all blended together for a very Batman experience, is what I'm trying to say. And you go to the Arkham City, and it felt like all they wanted to do was let you beat up on some bad guys. And there was some, you know, random side missions here and there. And it felt very loose and open and just not cohesive. It was just very broken. Still a great game, I think, but just not as tight as its predecessor. And I thought about, I always use this game as an example, but I think it is a good one. I look at Mass Effect, the series. You look at Mass Effect 1, and the gameplay, it's hit and miss. The graphics are a bit off, but the story was so solid. And then you go to 2, and really, the story was a lot worse, but the characters were so well written, the graphics were a lot better, the gameplay was so much tighter that you ignored the story because it was so much fun. And then you look at 3, which by all measures was the best playing game, the best hybrid, you know, the perfect hybrid of the first two games, played great, and how it just fell flat in the technical and the story department, and it's a letdown. Ending aside, the game is a letdown because you don't just expect more evolution out of game. I feel like gameplay is the key to so many games, but people don't understand that. That's my problem with sequels. There's just not enough evolution. It's frankly why I'm worried about Bayonetta 2. I have no doubts that the gameplay can evolve, but why are we making a second one? Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to know why we have to make an Arkham Origins now. If they're making another, why do we have to play Arkham? Is it going to be worth playing? Because, you know, they ended City with such a big twist, and maybe that was the story they wanted to tell from there. Why am I playing Arkham Origins? And the gameplay, surely it can evolve, but what is the reason for me to go back under the cowl and play as Batman again in this same universe?
I'm just going to go ahead and say here, I'm going to have it recorded here and now, that the twist ending at the end of Arkham City, I'm calling it now, it's not going to stand. It's going to be changed. It's going to be reneged. It's going to be reneged. and I know exactly why. All I'm going to say is Clayface. Clayface is the reason why the ending that happened, the big twist, the big blank gets blanked. If you hadn't played it, blank gets blanked. And the reason that's going to be reneged is because of Clayface.
And that would be a real cop-out, because I still thought the whole Clayface thing was kind of neat.
I did.
And then it was neat, and then you actually fought him, and then just wrapped it up as a game. We were like, okay, all right.
Okay.
I guess I'll do some challenges now. I'm being very clunky today, but my whole reasoning is I'm going to expect more from this title. And from what that's why I'm getting excited for this game, is it seems like they've taken a very different direction. And that's a good thing. You say you're very particular about your Batman, so I'm sure you're more worried about it than me. But, you know, they're not focusing on some kind of other great Joker, all this Joker stuff. It is just the idea of Black Mask and all this stuff going on, a hit on Batman. And it's a different kind of take, and they're just going to run with it. As opposed to Arkham City was going to be an expansion of Arkham Asylum, and they had all these ideas that they never really did anything with, and they shoved all these villains in there for no real reason. I still love that game, but I'm looking for Arkham City to be more than Arkham Asylum 2, and I'm looking for this game to be more than Arkham City was, and there's many different things that can make a game fall flat. I hope it doesn't fall flat like Arkham City did, based solely on... Arkham City kind of played it safe, I thought. You know what? If this game takes some risks and evolves the gameplay like it should, I feel like it's going to be a lot of fun.
I like that. I think that's a good thing to summarize Arkham Origins with.
I feel like I've made no points today, despite the fact that I've rambled for like 20 minutes. But I thought it was just... We're in a very peculiar situation game-wise. There's some really quality games coming out, but there's few of them, and they're spaced pretty well. I think 2013, you look, and there's going to be a lot of quality games, but there really has not been that many big releases. BioShock, you can go either way if that was quality or not. You know, you've had Tomb Raider, Last of Us, and now you have Grand Theft Auto V. Hopefully Arkham Origins does all it should. And those are some good games for the year, but you can kind of get the feeling that this console generation is winding down, do you not?
Yeah.
Which is honestly kind of sad to see it go, because it's been here so long. I thought it would be good to talk about, even though everybody's so excited about these next consoles, I feel like you should temper your excitement, because it's easy to get swept up in the idea of something new. They're going to be new, but are they going to be worth getting? I don't think for a couple years. I feel like I've said that every generation since I was a kid, and a month after it's come out, I already want one, so I don't know. I'm not the best judge to say that. I thought we should have some food for thought and just do a quick podcast. So hopefully this one turns out well.
Me too.
No promises, guys. Remember, give us a month or so. We should try to get back out here, all right? Y'all take it easy.
I'll see you guys.